Yes, I'm live. I'm lucky because I fell over in the garage today and bumped my head a lot. So I'd appreciate lots of calls. 800-866-8883. I wouldn't miss one of these programs if I could, if my life depended on it. And as a matter of fact, it's been that way occasionally. But I want to talk to you about some very special things here today. My daughter sent me a video of a Captain Clay Higgins, and he is actually, it's not Higgins, it's Higgin, H-I-G-G-I-N-S. So you can look him up on Facebook. But he has a wonderful message. You know, in Texas, Brogue, it's beautiful with the strength of a real person behind that. Very impressed to me. And so I want to play that in a little while, if you get your friends together and listen to the message. And as beautiful as the message is, as majestic as it is, it won't work. It's about bringing America together. We've heard this before, but I've never heard it said so well. So I will play it in the next session of this program. There'll be just a little break, and I will introduce you to him. And then you can look on Facebook and download it yourself. It's beautiful. And it's manly. But what I'm saying here, as much as this person loves this country and speaks for it eloquently, even if every person in this country could hear it, a big percentage would reject it. So what is the problem? Why are we so divided? How come? The house divided against itself is bound to fall. And you see it beginning to fall. You're beginning to see the beginning of it. The dangerous cries of, you know, about Trump, all the rest of it. The attempt to keep him silent and to keep him from becoming the president, no matter what. It wasn't so with Obama, was it? There wasn't that fight. It should have been. I screamed and yelled, but I wasn't able to reach everybody. And if I did, it would fall on deaf ears on the same kind of people that this captain in the police force in Texas was talking to. Talking to all Americans, but not all of us are Americans. Something horrible has taken place, and it's been taking place for a long, long time. I can't at least, trust either party, left or right. What a wonderful thing if they go away and we just vote for somebody, keeping all the other safety things in place. Just that. Because two parties begin to, well, Rome, if you want to know a little story about Rome, and I'm not much of a historian, but it was so magnificent in its glorious years that everybody wanted to come. Why wouldn't they? And so they opened the borders and let them come through, especially for cheap labor. And then they multiplied. And the multiplication of people, slowly but surely, became a loyal or disloyal opposition. They didn't have those values that the Romans valued in the early days. And so what we got was warfare, civil war, tearing each other's pieces because they became, when they were born there, they became Romans, but didn't understand. Didn't have the long legacy of tradition to see that. And this is the same thing, we have to have borders. What are those people who understand history, why do they want us not to have borders? You don't have a country if you don't have borders, don't you see? We got to be separated from others, and others have to come in and make sure, as I did when I came to Ellis Island, I had to answer lots of questions and have myself examined to see I was healthy and compatible with this country, and I am. I've seen it falling apart. I just want to talk to you a little bit about that, if you don't mind. Thank you. Be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Standing as one is a force that the world's evils cannot defeat. If you are that force, then good happens. But if we're not, God help us. I want to introduce you, and you can get a copy of this, by Captain Higgins. He's a police officer, and it's on Facebook. It's only about 3 minutes, bear with me, because I just need to expound on what I said in the first part of the program. Excuse my voice. So here it is. Just listen. Listen carefully to the strength of a man. It's nice if you could see the picture of him as he's speaking. But I want to introduce him. And you need to listen carefully and become as he is. I'm ready to introduce him now. You can play it now, David. I don't hear it.
I'm a regular American. Over the course of my 54 years, I've lived the sort of life that many of you have. I've been failed. I've been fallen. I've struggled and overcame and failed again. I've known hunger. I've enjoyed feast. I'm a street cop, an old soldier, a husband, a father, a Christian. I'm Irish and English and German. My story could be the tale of any American, regardless of color or creed. Despite our own individual heritage and culture, all of us, every one of us, through our lives and by our family's history, has woven the thread that defines our flag, has dedicated life and limb and treasure to establish the nation we love. All of us, young, old, wealthy, poor, black, white, liberal, conservative. Every single one of us, first and foremost, is an American. If you're listening to this message, and if you can agree on a basic premise I've just stated, then please lend me your ear for the next couple of minutes. If you can't even set aside your hate long enough to allow truth to speak to your heart, then by all means step aside, child, and let the adults work. America is a nation built by imperfect men, driven by perfect intent. We've overcome every imaginable horror through our history. Some of it, horrors of our own creation. This is the way of a man's life. My own is no exception, nor is yours. And thus, also, is the way of a nation's life. America has never been without fault, nor have we ever claimed such a status. America is, however, the very finest example of free men assembled that the world has ever established. American soldiers have died on every shore to preserve our nation intact. The sun never sets on American dedication to the foundational principle that defines our own Constitution, that all men are created equal. American citizens work tirelessly across the globe to bring relief to the poor, to bring peace to the besieged, to bring stability to the shaken, and to bring freedom to the oppressed. Yet now, our own nation is threatened. America is in grave peril from threat across the seas and also from within. The elected and appointed elitist few who have seized power in Washington have squandered our wealth, mortgaged our children's future, and betrayed our trust. America faces a $20 trillion debt. Even with courageous action now, our so-called leaders in D.C. have mortgaged our future for an entire generation yet unborn. Our once respected and feared status as the world's most powerful nation has been diminished. Our own allies across the globe no longer trust us. Our borders are no longer sovereign. Our cities are on fire. Our police are murdered in the street. Our history is being rewritten. Our veterans return to a nation almost unrecognizable and are forced to battle the oppression of their own government. Our prisons overflow with poor men who have long ago paid their debt to society. Meanwhile, our nation is run by thieves, thieves in suits, career politicians that no longer represent we, the people. They represent strictly their own agenda, greed, and ravenous hunger for power. I've often said in my career as a cop that a man's character shouldn't be measured by how he falls. It should be measured by how he stands back up. And in many ways, our nation has fallen. Now I ask you to join me. I ask you to take the hand of your brother and sister of every creed as we magnify our strength by the power of our American spirit. I ask you to set aside our differences and stand together as one nation under God, to stand as one people beneath the glory of one flag, to stand as a nation reborn as we face perils both foreign and domestic. Together, we can stand this thing back up. Our finest hour can yet lay ahead. The threats we face are menacing and real, but an American nation standing as one is a force the world's evils cannot defeat, a force that career politicians fear, a force that every peril dreads, that foreign horrors like ISIS tremble before. You are that force. We are that force. America's not done. Real Americans are not defeated. We are strong. We are one. I'm Captain Clay Higgins, a simple man, a humble American man. From bended knee, I thank you for what you are. My brothers and sisters all, joined by the bond of our spirit.
Thank you very much for that, Captain Higgins. And you can find him on YouTube, is a link I got. I took the liberty of playing it. I'm sure you wouldn't mind. My name is Roy Masters. Now, he has said in a few minutes what's good and bad about a country where we're divided. It wasn't divided when Obama took office. And that's because the good people on the right, are not the same as the bad people on the left. Excuse me, but I made a point about left and right yesterday. I don't want to go over that again. But I do it because of the necessity of this discussion. I want to say it again, then. Not so much chatter as quickly as I can concentrate it. On the left, you have good people. Well, we call them the left. We call them Democrats. And there are such decent people. They believe in something that's right when it's wrong. They think they can love their enemy. They've been told so by their preachers. And I'm sure on the right, the same thing's happening. But people who are in their right mind, on the right side, are different from the people who are on the wrong mind and still Christians. You divided Christians as well as you put in Christians with communists, and I'll show you how that happens. I'll show you. Explain it to you why the Christians are separated from each other. And this is a dangerous thing. You can't have Christians on the left. Because what I said yesterday, I've got to say it again and again. There's a kind of love. You read the Bible. I read the Bible occasionally. But there's certain words that sting me, waken me. The word is love. And loving your enemy is understood by the left. And we'll talk about what the left is as love, as appeasement. Do you understand the difference between what love is as appeasement? The looking for peace. That's why you open the borders. That's why you do everything you can to invite everybody into our home, our country. But they're not ready for it. See, we're not ready for it. They're not ready for it. They have to have certain ways about them. Perfections, and maybe that's the wrong word. But the same morals that match ours. You shouldn't allow anybody in the country that has something different in their morals because it's against the Constitution. The Constitution punishes people who have no morals because no morals brings you to bad things. Morals keep you as one nation under God. And so it's very important for you to understand words and not just just memorize it. Words are trying to tell us something beyond words. And this is the program that does it. I'm talking to you beyond words. The word love. You can love a snake. You can love Hitler. But what kind of love would you get from that? You get support if you love him. And you get death if you don't. But if you loved God or Jesus as a man, as a leader, that's a different kind of love. It transforms you in a completely opposite direction. And so, which does not stand for nonsense. It does not, it's not a Christian. A person who is well-meaning on the left and decent people, they really believe their words, but they haven't taken the time to really look or never have given the opportunity such as this program provides. That you must examine certain words. And we'll just take this one. There's many. Enough to turn you around to see that you are being played. So on the left, we call them Democrats. You have Christians. On the right, you have Christians. We can't have them divided, can we? So what have I told you that your kind of love on the left and the Pope and everybody else who thinks the same way is an appeasement. In other words, not ability to stand up to the adversary, the danger, the murderer, the killer, the one that wants to destroy your country. You tend to elect him. That's what happened. And of course, the right stood by, and gentle people as they are, there wasn't any fuss. But on the left, that's different. Look what's happening, and you see. You have to be, even now, you have to be concerned about his life. You understand that? That's how dangerous the left is. Because behind the people who are... They hear the music. Hold the line. Oh, yeah, behind... Yes, 800-866-8883. Ladies and gentlemen, call me and come into contact with what I'm saying. Help me express it. Let me see how you see it, please. Thank you. All right, I'm talking about the left, Christian the left, and Christian the right. Now, on the right, they may not be right enough, because you can justify your sins if you misunderstand the scriptures. But let me keep to the left, because the left one is more important right now. Because the right actually see more clearly, even though they don't fully understand. They know something good when they see it, even if they don't practice it. But there's something on the left that's behind the left. It's called communism, Marxism. So those people on the left who think in terms of appeasement as love, it's dangerous, it's not good. And it's not good for them to bring up their kids with that attitude either. The country is ruined by it over a period of time. Maybe 100 years or 200 years or 300 years from now, it would have its effect. But there are forces behind that. And they're Marxists. Countries. Trained people who understand the misunderstanding of what love is. They understand it. And so therefore, if I was going to take over a country, I would look to the schools first and universities and teach people those things. And those make appeasement, making love of everybody, and opening the borders with magnetic love and care, as if it's such a wonderful thing to embrace our brothers all over the world, and thinking that we all become one people, it's not, because nobody with any brains wants to be a lover that appeases the enemy. Appeasement, love as seen as an appeasement, is dangerous to your health. It's dangerous to this country. The reason why there's so many people who believe this, that's how he got Obama. And we were polite because he was black and everything else. We should have screamed. I did. Scream, please. Don't you see through this? You can't be fooled by appearance, by behavior, and by the sound of his voice, what's behind it. And not only did you do that once, you did it twice. 20%, you got $20 trillion, going to $21 trillion, is the value of everything in the whole world. It's $67 trillion. $67 trillion is the value of the whole world. We owe $21 trillion. Isn't it? A trillion is a billion billion? 21 of the, you understand this? Do you think this was love from your president, the present president? No, he's a traitor. Now, who put him in? The left. Who objected without violence? The right. They should have been. because they didn't understand what I'm saying. Maybe not then. I didn't have the scope to reach you, everybody, even today. I'm asking you, if you're a Christian, give up appeasement. You do not know what love is, you stupid fool. Excuse me. I don't mean to be rude. I really don't. But you're dangerous to yourself. You're dangerous to your own family. You breed more of them. And then you're such a hypocrite that you may have rebels. And they say, that's Christianity, I want nothing to do with it. Of course, the same thing happens on the right. But not as frequently. It doesn't have a politic behind it. It doesn't have, it has America behind it even. So they're not perfect Christians, but they're more perfect. And they're the ones that will, you know, elect the president, Dr. Trump. They saw him that way. I'm not saying what, I can't tell you what my opinion is of him, but they saw him that way. And so therefore they put him, they run to him because of his perceived freshness. That is how they saw it. But the others have an enemy behind them, like the devil. Especially the women are appeasers. They want peace. They want peace with their husbands. They want peace with their children. And appeasement and peace encourages. That kind of love enables what's wrong with the person. And if you look at Obama, that's the kind of love he gives to all those kinds of people. And they've multiplied. They've grown because communists have put people in places, in churches, and in universities, in music. They put behind the forces behind that. And you see them in Congress. You see that lowlifes there, literally lowlifes. You wonder, how do they get there? This is not civilization anymore. It's coming from a place you need to understand. All of you people on the left, I know you want to love. I know you have a pope and he hates war, but he doesn't understand. If he projects the idea that love is appeasement. Love your neighbor, love your enemy. The enemy laughs up its sleeve. Sucker, sucker. That's what you are, as he thinks, and emboldening. And the door, and because it seems such a good thing. You multiply the good thing. It isn't good. Lots of things are not good. And you multiply it, and eventually it smacks you in the face. And I could give you lots of examples, but this is a subject I need to talk about. All right. So having said that, I want anybody on the left who's a good Christian to say to me, you're a liar. You don't know what you're talking about. Or would you please call me and try to get more out of me than what I'm saying. I can only give you a little piece of it, but don't understand that kind of idea of peace has to have, it's not real, and it needs some support because it's hollow and empty. And yes, it's hollow and empty, so the more you express it, the less energy you've got, the more you need to be bolstered up a little bit by the love of another person. Especially a president or politician or... Oh, this is a good question. But this is... Can you ask John if he'd hold on just a little bit? Thank you very much. What I have said about what love is not love if it's appeasement. But people don't see it as appeasement because they are encouraged, glorified, and praised for their love and tolerance to wickedness. And thinking that goodness, that idea of love, is good, they are rewarded by it, by those who stand behind them, which is the enemy of this country, and multiply them so that we become overcome by them. And there's much more to it than that, much more, because the appeaser can actually turn around to be very angry. And there's another side to that, but I have a caller to take in just a minute. And I just want to remind my listeners that this is not a commercial program. And the reason why it's on the air is because it's supported by listeners. And nobody, no businessman in his right mind would put this program on. He does his best to avoid controversy. But controversy is what America's all about, isn't it? The freedom of speech. I have the right to say these things on. Many of you will love this. Many of you will suddenly have a whole new light. Whether you're on the left or on the right, I want you to be Christians, one Christian. Not two different ones. And not 100 different ones with different ideas and different ways of explaining it. There's only one. You don't need to understand. You don't need your preacher. You don't really need him. Because in the Bible it says you don't need have any need for anyone to teach you. All you need is a Bible for yourself. And sit around and talking about it and questioning such as things as I've been saying. What does it mean? What does it mean by love? You can love evil. What is love? I can tell it to you in a single word. Love is don't hate. But how do you get to not hate? How humanly speaking, can you learn to endure evil without responding to it and letting it get inside you and kill you? Is that what it does? But the opposite is not the cure. The opposite to please, to appease. The word is appease. It's cowardly. Understand it's cowardly. Please get my meditation exercise. Post office box. Well, let me just tell you to go to my website, fhu.com, and get the 7-minute meditation at no charge. And your life will light up. And we want to bring together all the Christians because we need you all together to fight the terror that is to come from within and from without. I'm Roy Masters. Thank you very much.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I'm glad you just joined us. I'm trying to get American Christians to be one. And I spent the first half an hour. If you missed the program, it will refeed an hour after this. There'll be another program, another hour with yours truly. And then after that, it refeeds the first hour. And I'm trying to get Christians to understand that on the left, there's Christians who believe that loving your enemy is embracing them. And that is not true. It emboldens them. It's the cause of war. And that's why we have behind them, just like the Ku Klux Klan was was behind the wrong kind of Christianity. So you have communists behind them. You have communists encouraging you to be this way and to encourage others to love the way you love, you stupid idiot, excuse the expression, or stupefied. Now, if you don't like it, see if you've got the courage to call me and pacify me or engage me. You haven't. Or you can call me and thank me and add a little bit of what you understood so I can learn a little bit from you. There's always something I can learn from other people about this matter. Thank you. All right, we'll take our first call. 800-866-8883. 800-866-8883. Weekdays. 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can call all you want. I'll take my first caller. John in Virginia. Hello, John.
Yeah, hi, sir.
What can I do?
It's an honor to speak to you.
Thank you.
I would go on and praise you, but I might start weeping. But anyway, the reason I'm calling is it's been a mystery for a long time that when someone's life is saved in fiction or in a real-life account, I break out weeping. And, you know, I have, I'll give you two quick examples, short examples. There's a couple of years ago or so, the Navy SEALs went in and saved a lady in Africa who had been kidnapped by, you know, guerrillas or rebels, whatever, and were demanding ransom. And she was relating the story for an hour on the radio. And when it got to the climax where the bullets were flying, she realized what was going on. She's reciting this, being interviewed. I broke out weeping. And the other one was a fiction, one of these British detective series that are so good. And a gal is going to take her own life toward the end of the plot line in a swimming pool and drown herself. And detectives smashes in the glass door panels or whatever. Kicks them in.
I get the idea. I get your story,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
the question, though, what's the question? I get the story.
Well,
yes.
It's a mystery to me why I break out weeping, and, you know, I have certain idea. I don't know if you want to hear that. I just feel like, to use some of your phrases, I was stolen from my life. I was set up to fail, and you know, I've been listening to you for quite a while. And anyway, I'm sensing it has something to do with that, where I was there to help, or I was sort of used or abused, or you know, taken advantage of, and I was waiting for someone to come and help me. I guess is what my emotions are telling me.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody came.
Did that make you cry?
Is that
why you're saying that?
Well,
I don't understand how the
automatic subconscious reaction where I break out weeping in these situations.
But you come in, David. But I'm not quite sure that's the case. Please. Introduce yourself to John, and we'll have a chat with him, because he hasn't laid it out as well as he...
Well, in other words, as he watches other people be saved from their own doom, he wishes there were someone that could save him. And of course, there is. There's
he loves the story.
And the story touches that raw nerve.
It does.
Because everyone needs to be saved. Everyone. But the question is, if you... First of all, you have to know that there is a savior, and it's not a human being anymore. It's a superhuman being. And this is, in a way, what the movies like Captain America or these kind of movies, they portray superhuman beings that have incredible powers. But you know, the one that needs to save you.
I think we're getting off the course.
I think it's a great topic, honestly.
It is a great topic, and...
Everybody needs to be saved. Now, the question is, where's the yearning? You know, if you can identify the yearning, Can you identify why you feel that way? That's what I'm saying.
Well, the thing is, we actually, when we're broken like that, broken like our caller, in that degree, we tend to think of love as a feeling for other people. And so when people watch the news and they see terrible things happening, it either doesn't matter to them, but in some people, they have the idea that being sorry for people who are suffering and being happy that it turned out to be wonderful is a good feeling that seems like compassion and love when it's not. See, so we must be very careful. If we want to find God, you should be able to look at suffering and not be upset by it or elevated by ego, elevated, giving a feeling of doing right by that person and saving their lives. You shouldn't be a feeling, it's just, how else would you do it? And people who have lost that way, that's the only way they can feel love, a sense of it, by being happy for a person and sort of follow the yellow brick road to hell, so to speak, and then it turns out to be wonderful. There's feelings all the way, as if they themselves were doing the journey. This is not healthy. And so I would ask the gentleman, I think, are you a veteran?
I wish I was. No.
You're not a veteran, because you had the voice like the veteran accord. But are you getting the point that you've got to be very careful? Look, I have to tell you a story. My father died. I got to make it a little bit more solid. I was watching a movie the night before last. It's called Little Boy on Netflix. And it's the most beautiful story I've ever seen, actually. It's so well written. It's done by, not by a big, you know, company, but it was all about a little boy and his father, and he went to war, and he just wanted him back, and he'd do anything. He just wanted to do anything. Could he have them some kind of magic to bring him back into the world? And it was so beautiful. I cried last night. But it's not unusual for me, because it brought back memories for me. See, because I can deal with people and not feel good about standing up to them, and not feeling bad for their misfortunes. You must not allow yourself to feel what other people feel. And you can't have a fantasy like that, and thinking that loving, and then following up, and seeing, having compassion, feeling for the person who's suffering, and then finally he resolves the problem and he becomes a hero and everything happens ever after. That's the way it should be in life. But you don't duplicate them like that. But that's not a sin. It is a mistake. But this mistake can become a sin if it's not understood. I'm suggesting to John that he not do that. When I said I did it, I cried my eyes out. And the reason is this, because I had a good life with my dad. My dad died when he was 42. And I didn't know him much. I didn't have to. He put a over my heart, a household, and especially different from most other people, without those, you know, broken bones and broken mind. I was clear. My brother didn't. But of course I cried when I was the older one. I had to bury him and put the shovel of dirt over his coffin. And I was only, you know, 13, 14 years old. So there it is. There's the emotions, the love, and the love of him, when he wasn't there, went up to what was in him that I loved about him. And I went about walking the streets and in the rain, and then looking for people, men who walked like my father, and pulled on their coat sleeves. And of course, it wasn't him. And so you didn't want him to be dead. And this is my story. And all of a sudden, I didn't get frustrated, but all of a sudden somebody says, your father didn't die. He says, he's not your dad, I'm your dad. I said, who that is? But it was the father of my father when he was gone. Because I loved him, I didn't know I loved the father within him. So it set me up, love for my dad set me up to love God. That's, now I could spin that and make it a bad story. But the discipline and the respect, which I didn't know I had, I was just a happy-go-lucky kid with a dad. It wasn't there very often, but it was his presence. It was more his presence than anything. And so when he died, the love wasn't him really, he was the agent that was good. But beyond that was the God that he loved. Maybe he didn't know he loved him. He was so matter of fact. And so when the body died and disappeared, my longing went to that which created him. And therefore, I have a story. So when I saw that story of the little boy, which I'm 88 years old now, and eventually the story ended in a wonderful way. Dad did come back from, that was even better than mine, of course. But the fact that he did everything he could, he did every right thing. He wanted to know what right was, and he tried to be magic. He tried to do everything. And eventually, but he never gave up. And then, but the story was so gripping to me that I cried from delight. And that is not dangerous. But you can't do that for everybody. Okay, are you following me, John?
Yeah, I've been.
But you make you
I've
making you but you're doing
to,
you're doing
next
it in fantasy.
I've been next door to tears several times listening to that story, or your complete.
Yeah, you saw that. You saw it.
Yeah,
you saw a little boy.
Yeah, more than once, I've been next door to tears as you've been talking. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I would look at every other movie and every other story with great interest. I would look at the suffering that's going on in Christians. I can't cry for them. What can I do? Listen, I've got one more story to tell you. Now, my mother died, and she was 56 years old, and she came from England, and when she was in England, she wanted her kids, me and my brother. And when she got bored when she got here, then she went back to her friends. And when she got back to her friends, she got missed us, and she went backwards and forwards on the Queen Mary, and then she died in a hotel while I was doing business. So I took her with me and my young son, David. That's a long time ago. And the ambulance came and took her body away and dropped it off on the floor. I didn't flinch. I had no feeling. Now I said to myself, why don't I have a feeling? My mother's dead. Why did I have a feeling for my father? My mother's a good woman. But there's something different with her. She was kind of feeble. She was sweet, kind. And she was needy and needed my father. See, so. But the thing is, it troubled me that I didn't have a feeling. And I said, something's not right. It is a matter of who dies. I cried when Reagan died. I cried when Reagan died. I did. Because he's such a beautiful man. See, I'm admitting things. There's a time for crying, but not for everything in stories. Because there's a certain beauty in it. There's a certain longing fulfilled. But my mother, no. Why? She wasn't bad. So what'd I do? I made myself upset. I found a way to make myself upset, and I got sick and almost died. That's how dangerous it is. You have it or you don't. But then you have it in a wrong way where you have it. You're looking for that kind of feeling all the time. We'll be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, my dear friend John, did you follow what I was saying?
Yeah, I'm so emotional right now. I'm so emotional. I don't know if I can carry on a logical discussion.
Yes, but anyway. You see, it's a joy. It's a relief. You see, when you're saved, I explained it to you in a fairly simple way. And if you understood it, it relieves you of your tension and your confusion with tears of gratefulness.
Uh-huh.
See, that's a good thing.
Well, I can order the CD of this show and rehear it, you know.
It wouldn't hurt. Yeah. It wouldn't hurt, my friend. I just want you to know that it's the God that makes you cry. For who? You don't want to invent something, and so you don't want to have all these different things going on so you could feel alive and feel like you're a good person because you have affection for everybody. Look, to be very frank, very, very frank, I'm married. My wife's difficult. Let me be frank and not secretive. She's a decent person, broken, since she was born, practically. It was a difficult life with her. I love her, but it's not a feeling. She's not well, but I don't have a feeling. I'm always there. I'm always making sure she has a shower, always there watching her. I don't begrudge a bit of it. I could be out in the streets helping kids, that's what I told her. If she just get better, please, and listen to what I say. But she's stubborn. And so the point is, my job is to, you know, be with her and, you know, till death do us part. But the thing is, I think she's like my mother. And I want to be frank. I've told her that I helped hundreds of thousands and millions of people. But she often talks about, what does it mean to be married to Roy Masters? It means she can take advantage of me like everybody else and try to piss me off, excuse the expression, and get me angry. There's a force inside her that is doing that just like everybody else. And I had to learn great restraint in a sense, not repression. And so that time after time, day after day, year after year, one minute she's nice and next minute she's doing something, you know, she shouldn't be doing. And then accusing me of what she's guilty of. Just because I want to show it to her, please let me share it with you. Why don't you come to me? She doesn't. But she has an intelligence. She has something good in there, but something holds it back. And it's a test for me. But when it comes to her dying, I told her. You either listen to me, she knows I have it, but she teases me with it. But she can't help it. Maybe she was meant for that. I think she was. I'm hoping that it doesn't end in that negative way. But I will say it to you, anyone. So, how do I say it? I have discovered, and this is a very important, since I've made the point, that if you are of God, and He's in you, and He loves you, and He makes you loyal to your wife or husband, and you deal with trials and tribulations, you have no emotions, you're never afraid, you're never sorry for anybody, you endure. And if you do good, you don't feel good. And if something bad happens, you don't feel bad. It's in your own life. But the very fact that people hurt you and try to make you feel that way are numerous. They're infinite. People are always trying to push their feelings onto you to make you feel good or make you feel bad. And then they get a good feeling in returns because they live off your feelings, awakening your feelings and making you feel better than you deserve. You're addicted to their service. Obama is sympathetic to everything that's wrong with people, all on welfare, basically, and also the bad ones that want this country torn down. See, so we've gone round and round and round in the mulberry bush, but what I'm saying, listen, I have lived a life and given it to her without begrudging, without expecting, hoping that she'd understand it, and it yet may come. I'm there forever, but if she drops dead, I would not feel a feeling. I told her I would not feel a feeling because if she drops dead from it, from the game she's playing, and it's true I'm speaking to my audience, if you start to be angry with me and I'm trying to do right by you and you get caught up with me like my wife, so in one minute you love me, the next minute you hate me, or you hate me all the time, you die. Because this is not just ordinary truth. This isn't just stories. I'm talking about your story. You can't play with me. My wife can't play with me. My children can't play with me. If they drop dead, I won't feel anything because they never caught it. They would secretly resent me. I've got five siblings. It doesn't matter. If they love me, that's good for them. I love them too. I'm happy to see that. But I don't feel good when I see them doing good. I just saying, it's not so nice to watch. That's it. When you have a little kid, it's so nice to watch. But you don't feel important. Oh, look what he's doing. I love him. You have that feeling that you love the child and you are responsible. You can congratulate yourself by feeling good when he does good things and you praise him and you become codependent and the kid will either run away and feel you pulling on him or he'll become a slave of you forever. That's what appeasement is. So he says, what feelings do to you. Now the feelings are there when they're appropriate and not there just to make you to have stories and go to movies and cry. Because that's all artificial. It gives you a feeling of compassion that you never had, but compassion will always elude you. Ladies and gentlemen, juveniles and crocodiles, please support my program. This is not a commercial program. We are 501c3. So we have same status legally as the Catholic Church, but we're not churchified. See, I speak freely. I'm the breath of fresh air you're looking for. Okay, thank you. This country can turn around when people can be free to speak like this. Okay, post office box, 1000 Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Please, I need to get this country together. I'm the only person that can do it because nobody can fight me on this. Nobody can fight me on this. Go try it. You'll die trying. And that's a good thing. We don't need you. Okay, be good.